The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
It's good singing. Thank you, Brother Palmore. Take your Bible, please, and go back to Ephesians chapter 5 and look at verses 15, 16, and 17 again, as I read those just a moment ago. The Bible says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Now, let's look at this one also. Can we do it? Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and look at verse 13. The book of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. And here's what our Bible reads. The Bible says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth," it says, "onto those things which are before." Then he says in verse 14 of Philippians chapter 3, he says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." You know, the older I get, of course, the more I see that there is a need to press. I see that there's a need to be wise concerning the things of the Lord. You know, many years ago, there was a fellow by the name of Isaac Watts. Isaac Watts lived from 1674 to 1748, and he was considered probably one of the best hymn writers of all times, penning over 800 hymns. Matter of fact, he became known as the father of the English hymns. Inside of our hymn book, we have many, many of the hymns that he penned, such as "O God, Our Help," or "Joy to the World," or "Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed," "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," or "At the Cross." One of the ones that was probably the most favored that's been used down through the years that he penned was "We're Marching to Zion." That was sang at King Edward VII's funeral. It's been a favorite hymn over the years that has been sung at Buckingham Palace many, many times. It was also sung at the Winston Churchill's funeral. It was Franklin D. Roosevelt that chose the hymn to be sung at his first inaugural address. Then, of course, it's been a favorite in Canada for many, many years. It is sung at the services of remembrance that's conducted every year in Canada, used on many festivities there. It's in the London, England area. It's been known also as the church's national anthem, if you will, as churches would sing. It's all about marching forward. In other words, not taking time to sit and be idle, but it shows action, it shows activity. I found this out in dealing with older people. You know, many times an older person, what will happen is as they get older and they get retirement age or whatnot, they begin to lose the elasticity of that which is their muscles and whatnot, because they just kind of sit around. You know, one of the worst things you could ever do as you get old is just become lethargic and just sit around. You know, they say if you just get up and move and just keep moving, it'd be better for you. You know, I find out that in Christianity, many times, one of the most dangerous things you could ever do in your life is just to decide to sit around in your Christian life. We always ought to be moving forward, doing something for Jesus Christ, no matter how big, no matter how small, always doing something for Jesus Christ. So let me speak on this morning, on the hour is now to be able to do something. The hour is now. The hour is now. You know, let's not be a people that just decides that we're going to not do something. Oh, I'll do it later. Somebody told me this years ago. They said, "Look, you know, when I get old enough to retire, then I'll serve Jesus Christ." But you know, you don't know when that is going to be, or even if that is going to be. So let me give you some statements about the hour is now. Statement number one: our time on earth is limited. It's limited. You don't know when will be the last day that you breathe your breath. James chapter 4 and in verse 14, the Bible says, "For what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appears for a little time, and then it vanisheth away." All right? So life is very, very short. You know, when I was coming up, I always kind of thought that when I was a teenager, especially, I thought that 40 years of age was just an old man. You know, now that I passed 40, I think that's really relatively young. You know, the psalmist cried out in Psalm 39 in verse 4. He said, oh, look, show me my life's end. He cried out, show me my life's end. Help me to number my days. Over in Psalm 90 in verse 10, it talks about the length of days. Talks about 70 years. And for those that are strong, 80 years. And so you'll see people that many times here in the United States, especially in the United States, they live to be 70 or 80, still in pretty good health. And we thank God for that. Years ago, somebody gave me an article, and I file articles under different topics, and that's why you hear me read so many different illustrations, because they're topically filed. But years ago, somebody gave me a article. It was put out by the People magazine, and it was called Dead Ahead. Dead ahead. And what they did is they said the average man lives to be 75, the average woman lives to be about 80. And so somebody created a clock, and this was what the magazine article was all about, and the clock was called Dead Ahead. The reason they gave it the title of Dead Ahead, by the way, this particular clock sold for $99.95. No, I did not buy one, but that's what it sold for. And so what it was is it would take your present age and say a man would live to be 75, or take your present age, and as a female, you would live to be 80, and it would calculate how many days you had left. And each day that would go by, it would click off one more day. How depressing would that be? So I thought, okay, I wonder, I'm going to be February 9th, I'll be 57. So I thought, okay, how many days, if I live to be 75, how many days do I have left? Wow, I've got 6,570 days. That's a long time. Well, I think it's a long time. And I thought, okay, so that's 157,680 hours. That is 9,460,800 minutes. That is 567,648 seconds. That's a long time. You realize how much you can get done in that many days? Do you realize how much you can get done in that many hours? Do you realize how much you can get done in that many minutes or that many seconds? Now, I think I'll live to be long past 70. I'm shooting for 120. And so, but I'm saying this, that understand that your time on earth is limited. You know, now don't let that depress you. Here's what it ought to do. It ought to encourage you to live your life to your fullest. You know, enjoy every single minute that you have to be able to live your life. You have no idea when your life is going to be cut off. You have no idea when something is going to come down the pike and you all of a sudden get sick or something like that. So can I tell you, every single minute that God gives you, why waste it complaining and why waste it griping and why waste it just going around sucking your thumb and your neighbor's thumb too? You know, why waste it doing stuff like that? Why don't you be energetic and taking the life that God has given you and step up and use that life for the glory of God? Because you don't know how much time you have. I'm saying that our life, that's why the hour is now. The hour is now. Why? Because you have no idea. You have no idea how much time you have left on earth. And because you have no idea how much time you have left on earth, use your time wisely. Can I tell you, I think coming to church is a wise thing. Because in church you hear the Bible. By the way, when you get to heaven, there's not going to be a math book, and I hate to depress you students, and there's not going to be a science book, and I hate to really get you upset if you're a science teacher, but there is going to be one book that's going to be there, and it's going to be called the Bible. The Bible says, forever thy words are settled in heaven. And by the way, at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to be judged according to one book. It's going to be the Bible. So if the basis of your eternal blessings is going to be because of the Bible, then don't you think it's important that you learn as much Bible as you can? And don't you think if your eternal blessings are going to be based on what you did with that which you understood, yea, had in your possession, which is the Word of God, then don't you think it would be good to obey everything that God tells you to do in this life? By the way, 75 years is not a long time. Yeah, 80 years is not a long time. But can I tell you, dear friend, eternity is a long time. You know, we spend so much time investing in our life here and now, and I think that's good, but can I tell you, you can invest so much in your life here and now, and later on, it's all futile, it's all empty, it's all void, it's all vanity and vexation, simply because one day this will end. But you're going to spend eternity somewhere. Now, for the believer, thank God for this, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so when I take my last physical breath here, my next physical breath, yes, will be in heaven. When I give my last word here, my next word will be in heaven. When I take my last stroll here, my last walk, step here, my next step, stroll, walk will be in heaven. I'm saying this. I'm saying, yes, our time on earth is limited. That's why we need to consider the very hour in which we live. Statement number two. So make the most of every opportunity. Make the most. Hey, when you're spending time with your children, make the most of it. You know, Paul had something when he said this. He said, this one thing I do. Now, I don't know about you, but I love to multitask. I mean, I love the multitask. I love to be able to do one thing here while I'm doing something else. The other day, I was doing three things at one time, and I looked back and I thought, man, I did all those things pretty good. And I thought, well, you know, hey, maybe I can start doing some three things at one time, but it didn't work. But for that one thing, it worked. Now I'm saying this, but I love to be, because I don't want to waste the time. I don't. I want to be able to concentratively get things done the way they need to get done, but at the very same time, I realize that I've only got so much time to be able to accomplish the greater whole, and so I try to multitask. Now, can I say this? Make the most out of every opportunity you have. Now, when it comes to people, don't multitask. Paul said, this one thing I do. Don't you hate it when you're coming to somebody, you're trying to talk to them, and they're on their cell phone and talking to you at the same time? No, that is not undivided attention. Now, I realize when it comes to business, you can do that and get away with it. But when it comes to loving your wife, that's not good. When it comes to loving your children, that's not good. Now, don't try and multitask while you're throwing the football. You're going to get hit in the head. Sometimes, take your wife out, have a date. It's good for guys to have a date night with your wives at least once a week. Take her out to a nice place. Put the phone up. Turn it, or leave it at home. You say, but what if there's an emergency? The emergency will be there when you get home. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying make the most out of every opportunity. You know, Paul gave reason for this. Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 16, he says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You're only going to be married one time. Children, one time. Friends, one time. You're only going to have, David Livingston said, the great missionary to Africa said, he said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. So realize that time passes by. So what do? You focus on somebody, you help somebody, you encourage somebody, you lift somebody up, you walk beside somebody, you help somebody to be able to make it that could not make it without you. You be there for somebody that would not be able to achieve something if you were not going to be there for them. And you are an important person. Now realize that. You're important to your parents. You're important to your husband. You're important to your wife. Don't let the devil play mind games with you. Well, you know, I'm just not important. You are. You might not see your importance, but you are an important person. If you're married, you've got somebody that's relying on you, needs you in their life. You're important. If you have children, hey, you've got somebody that's relying on you. Hey, if you've got a friend, you've got somebody that's relying on you. Can I tell you this? Can I say, make every opportunity count? Years ago, there was a physician, and he said many times people would come to my office and they were stressed out. They were stressed out over wasted time, and they would begin to list it. They wasted their time in this, and they wasted, and it seemed like he said the reason they were stressed out is because they were always living in the past. I wish I would have did this. I wish I changed this. By the way, and I love you, but listen to me. You do your best in rearing your children, but sometime in your life, you're going to have to give your child to God. Sometime you're going to have to back off as they reach the adult age and say, look, I did my best. Hope they got the principle. Hope they got it. Now, I'm always going to be there for them. I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to walk beside them. I'm going to be that one that is there for them. But sometime you have to realize that you've got to let somebody be able to breathe. You know, I love my dear wife, but my wife has different likes than I have. Yeah, she does. She likes to go and look at different outfits and skirts and dress, I mean, all that stuff. That doesn't thrill me. Amen. I want to go look at guns. Amen. That's me. You know, I want to take a gun out and shoot it. Amen. Now that doesn't turn her on. Now, but wait a minute. But we do some things together because we want to please each other. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, you know, make the most out of every single opportunity. John chapter 10 and verse 10, the Bible says, a thief cometh but to steal and to kill and to destroy. This is the Lord. He says, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Can I tell you, dear friend, that life is what you make out of it? Jesus now is visiting Mary and Martha at the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. He's sitting down there. Mary is sitting down there at his feet, and she is soaking his feet. Meanwhile, Martha's in the kitchen, and she's working, and she's working, and she is giving it her very best. In Luke chapter 10, and all of a sudden, Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall be not be taken away from her. Now, wait a minute, watch this. And so here's one in the kitchen just working and working and working. But one said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a break from the work, and I'm going to give personal attention. I'm going to give personal attention. Now, by the way, we live in Western civilization. I know where we live. We live in the Dallas metro. I know where we live. We live in the hustle and bustle society of the city. I know that. You're in traffic no matter where you go. I know it. Now, wait a minute. If you're not careful, though, you can allow the hustle and the bustle of the life to steal from your marriage relationship. You can allow the hustle and the bustle of the life to steal from your children's relationship with you. Now, you be careful, because one day they're going to grow up and they're going to be gone. One day they're going to be walking out, and then you're going to look back and regret and remorse, and you're going to say, where did my little so-and-so go? I did not even know them. You have to take time and invest yourself to know someone. You have to do that. Some of you grandparents ought to be taking your grandkids out and investing your life in them before your life is over, or before you become ill so that you don't have the energy to be able to do that. Hey, make friends in the church. Go out and get yourself a pizza. Amen. Hey, go over and get yourself a steak. Sit down and talk and enjoy. Take some trips together. Get out serving God together. Get yourself some board games. Invite some people over and play some board games. I'm saying this. I'm saying, look, I'm saying that our time on earth is limited. Make the most of every opportunity. Yeah, I pass out tracts. I'm pretty well known for that. And man, I'll pass out tracts and witness to people all the time. And can I tell you that I have passed out some tracts that has had some phenomenal results. I mean, yeah, I'm in a hurry, don't have time to really talk to that person about Christ. I'm getting gas. I'm getting ready to pull out. I'll pop out a tract and give it to somebody. And then later on, I get an email. Or later on, I get a text. Or later on, they'll contact the church or whatever and say, hey, just want you to know, read that tract, made sense to me, got saved. It's been good. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying make the most of every single opportunity. There was a man by the name of Richardson Swinson. Richardson Swinson is a medical doctor, and he talked about times when people would come to him that had anxiety and stress, not like the other doctor, but here's what he said. He said, most of the time, I found this out, it's because of overload. Overload. They overload themselves with commitments. They overload themselves with possessions. They overload their garages that's overflowing. They overload their closets with clothes and shoes. They overload themselves with cars and vehicles and motorcycles and boats. They overload themselves with the internet media type of information that is on a super highway of understanding. He said, just for me to keep up with what people are overloading themselves, I have to every single month read at least 220 articles just to be able to keep up with everybody that's overloading themselves so that I know how to counsel them on a personal basis. Now, what is the answer? Here's the answer. The Bible says in Psalm 37 and verse 23, the Bible says the steps, not the runs, not the miles, not the marathons, not the triathlons. He says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way. Take your steps slow. But you don't understand, preacher. We live in such a fast, crazy society. I know. That's the reason to slow down more. Amen. Be slow in making your decisions. Well, you know, I tell you, I got to make this decision right now. Why? Who said? But you don't know, this is so urgent to me. I just feel like if I don't make this decision, I'm not going to make the right to. Why? Slow down. I think if you slow down, you'd enjoy life more. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 11 and verse 1, the Bible says a false balance is an abomination to the Lord thy God. But listen to it now. But a just weight is his delight. I'm saying our time on earth is limited, statement number one. Statement number two, so make the most of every opportunity. Statement number three, and I'm done. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Okay, watch this. It's very simple. If I'm going to be judged by this book one day, and I am, and you're going to be judged, and you are, then it would be good for me to understand what this book says. And it would be good for me to live the way this book says to live. You know, the Bible talks about how Paul is telling the people, look, don't be foolish concerning the will of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17, wherefore it says, be not unwise. Unwise concerning what? Listen to it. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So I guess if somebody doesn't understand what the will of the Lord is, then according to this scripture, they're unwise. So God says, look, don't be unwise concerning the will of the Lord. You know, the will of the Lord is very simple for us to understand once we understand the Bible. I know many of you, and I've had several people come up to me already and say, Pastor, just want you to know that I've been reading my Bible steady. I've had several come up to me and say, I want you to know I'm ahead. I am way ahead of my Bible reading schedule for this year, way ahead. Hey, that's great. I commend you for that. I think that is wonderful. Okay? And as you read through your Bible, let your Bible read through you. Amen. In other words, as you get in the Bible, be open. Be open. Don't read the Bible and say, well, I tell you what, that's not for me. Well, that doesn't apply to me. Well, I don't get nothing out of that. Well, that doesn't make any sense to me. And I'll just, no. God's going to have something for you along the way. along the way. A couple of days ago, I was reading, and it was back when I was in Genesis for the Bible reading, but it's so funny because I never caught it before, you know. You catch things as you read through your Bible again. And so here, Aaron, you know, Moses up on the mountain, Aaron, he throws in the gold in the fire, and he says, and a calf came out. That sounds like a teenager, you know. Well, that just happened. Now, you know, you'd be amazed at just different things that as you read through your Bible, funny things and things that will cause you to think and things that will help you to make wise decisions and things that will show you directions to go and directions not to go and how to be able to do things that God would have you to do. See, I'm saying this, you have an amazing book right here. And because you have such an amazing book, it would be so good if you dove into that book and let that book be able to guide you the direction that you're supposed to go. You know, that one doctor said, man, they're saturated with worry and they're saturated with anxieties and they're saturated with all these different things. You know, one lady said this, and I was talking to Gary Holman. My wife will remember Gary attended the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Columbia, Tennessee. And I was talking to Gary one time, and he was over the Reformers Unanimous for their church. And we were staying in his house one time. He and I were sitting down in the living room, and I wrote it down. And Gary said this, he said, you know, I dealt with a woman for years when she was a younger woman. He said, I followed her all the days of her life. And here's what she said. She said, I'm going to go to college. And when I go to college, I'm going to give it my best. But he said, preacher, when she got into college, she hated it. She said, I don't have any time of my own. I hate it. I thought college I would go and it would just be simple and I would learn a little bit, have all the free time. She said, but it wasn't that way. She said, so I went to college and all the work and all the study. She said, I didn't have any time for myself. And so she said, I can't wait till I graduate from college. Because once I graduate from college, I'm going to find the perfect man. And I'm going to get married. When I find the perfect man and I get married, I'm going to have children. Then I'll be able to rest and find relaxation. So she thought by going to college she would find it. Didn't find it. She says, just work, work, work. Hated it. But once I graduate, it's going to be okay. Perfect man, perfect kids, rest and relaxation. She said, but then I found out that being married, there is no such thing as a perfect man. And being married, there's no rest and relaxation when you have children. She said, so I went to the ball games. I supported them, their education. I did everything that I could possibly do. And she said, finally, it came time for them to go off to college. She thought, at last, rest and relaxation. But my husband and I had a conversation one night and said, you know, we love our kids. Maybe we ought to help them with their college education. She said, so I went back to work. All of my funds, his funds took care of her living, my funds took care of their college education. She said, some of them went for their doctorate degrees, can you imagine? She said, so I worked and I worked and I worked and I worked and I worked. And finally, the last one of our five children got their doctorate degree. She said, I was just so happy. Yes, rest and relaxation is now mine. She said, I went into my employer and said, I am going to retire. We're going to get a nice cabin, isolated from population. It's going to be fantastic. Rest and relaxation is mine. My employer said, if you'll just work 8 more years, you can have a better retirement. And she thought, no. And she worked 8 more years. She said, by the time I finished my 8 years and had a huge retirement, she said, I was just too old to enjoy it. Now, can I tell you? Listen, instead of looking at life that way, why don't you enjoy it incrementally along the way? Amen. Come on. Look, you're in a church and we're sincere about Bible preaching. We're sincere about soul winning. We're sincere about loving God and serving God. But can I tell you, don't leave your kids behind. Go outside and play ball with them. Those family vacations, dear friend, they are important. Amen. Yes, they are. You know, making those memories are important. Somebody shot my wife and I a picture. You got it too, didn't you? A picture of what our family looked like years ago in evangelism. Rebecca was about that tall. None of the kids were married. I wrote back, I think it was Hannah Bell that sent that to us. And I said, those were great memories. And I said, but today are great days. Yeah. You know, what am I saying? I'm saying this. I'm saying that every day can be that way. I'm so sorry, but I it's so true. So many people, they just live in the past. It's horrible. Well, you know, it's just so bad. My life is just, oh, forget it. Get over it. Go drink yourself a Coke. I'm not going to say drink nothing. Drink a Coke. Walk with God. Make some friends. Enjoy life. I mean, life is here. Enjoy it. Why is it that a person would just choose, man, I tell you what, here's my state of being. I'm just going to be miserable all the days of my life, and I'm going to enjoy being miserable. The only problem with that is you're making everybody else miserable. Yeah, go read the cartoons or something. Stay away from Fox News. Definitely stay away from CNN, Communist News Network. Stay away from that one. I'm saying this. I'm saying, you know, don't take so much upon you that all you're doing is you're just, man, it's just pulling you down. Hey, come to church and enjoy it. You say, I can't enjoy it, man. You're preaching on my sin. Then get your sin right and enjoy it. Oh, but you don't understand, preacher. I'm coming to church, and man, it just seems like, you know, church is so formal. It's only because you're seeing it that way. I'm having a good time. And we get up and we sing the songs, and it's like, wow, that's great. Man, we're singing about the grace of God, not going to burn in hell. How much better can you get in that? Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, hey, the hour is now. You ought to start living for Jesus Christ, putting some priorities in your life right now. Why? Because those hours are going to pass quick. Our time on earth is limited. Make the most out of every opportunity. Statement number three, and I'm done. Understand what the will of the Lord is. And as you step into that, you'll be amazed what God can do. By the way, you can't live life in the fantasy world. I've said this often. You can't live it like, man, it's always got to be a Six Flags. It's always got to be a state fair. It's always got to be a Dollywood. It's always got to be a Branson trip. It's always got to be, no. You can enjoy life all along the way without having to put things in there that are so, now it's okay to put those things in there, but that ought not to be the only way that you can enjoy life. You should be able to sit down, have a nice bowl of ice cream, sit there and say, I'm going to enjoy this. Yeah. Should be able to sit down with a friend, enjoy a cup of coffee, and say, I'm just going to enjoy this. Should be able to ride through the country with your wife and say, we're just going to enjoy this. Yeah, should be able to come to church, sit in church, and say, man, we're here. It's going to be great. God's going to show us some things. Wonderful God, wonderful Bible. Man, it's going to be super. God's going to help me in my life. I'm going to enjoy this. I really believe this. I do. I believe that life is what you make of it. And as a believer, you can actually enjoy being a Christian. Father, we thank you for today.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.